The first reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, and I'm on page 729 of the New International Version. So I'm going to start at 16 to 21. It's quite short. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise.
I'm reading Philippians 3, verses 4 to 11. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And this reading is John 21, chapters 15 to 19. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's just pray for Tim. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask you that you would speak to us through your word and through Tim today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, everyone. How many times have we gone through life thinking, let go of the past? Receive grace in your present. This year, could God be asking you not to go back to something he has previously brought you out from? When life gets difficult, all circumstances feel dark. And when we have disappointed others, and feel discouraged in our walk, our natural tendency is to turn back to the familiar, to what used to feel comfortable. Despite it not being God's very best for us, we crave certainty in difficulty. So we go back to find something we think we have lost. However, we will never find joy and blessing in going back to what God has called us out from. As a Christian, psychologist Dr. Henry Cloud says, In order to say hello to something new, sometimes we must say goodbye to something old. Peter has gone back to fishing. The reading before is the miraculous catch, shall we say, where Jesus has intervened after he's died. He's come back, and it's the third time I think he's been back, and his disciples have seen him. And 3 years previously, Peter had fully abandoned his nets for Jesus. However, feeling the weight of his life when Jesus had gone, he went back to what he knew best, seeking solace in the old way of living. He fishes all night and catches nothing. He gives it his all, but has nothing to show. For his hard-fought efforts, he fails at the thing he's supposed to be the best at. Why? Because Jesus called Peter to leave his nets behind. But Jesus never told him to return to them. But God's call is always greater than our fall. We will never find success or satisfaction when we turn to areas God has called us away from. There is no peace, no satisfaction in succumbing to something that God delivered us from. When God closes a door, going back is no longer an option. As we heard in the passage today in John 21, once Peter faces up to his own inability to do what he's supposed to do, be good at, it's only when Jesus shows him where the fish are. When he follows what Jesus says, even if it makes little sense, there is an abundance, provision, and blessing. Jesus then reaffirms Peter's original calling. He reminds him of who he really is. He's not a fisher of fish, but a fisher of people. If you spend all your time doing inventory on what you've lost or returning to where you failed, you will never invest in what's in front of you. There is nothing behind you worth turning around for. Keep moving forward in the direction God has called you to go. This might be a funny question, and you probably think I've lost my mind. Are you a hedgehog or a fox? This was a question Isaiah Berlin asked in his essay, The Hedgehog and the Fox. The fox knows many things, but the hedgehog knows one big thing. Berlin then divides the world into hedgehogs and foxes. Hedgehogs view the world with a single defining idea. In this case, survival. They have honed one-tracked minds. Foxes are more wily. They jump between ideas, chasing scattered paths towards success. While both styles have their advantages, the fox, for all his cunning, is ultimately defeated. The hedgehog, with his one spiny defence, has defeated the fox. A singular focus can be a powerful thing. This analogy illuminates our path as we contemplate Jesus. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Matthew 5, verse 8. Take a moment to really hear Christ's words. It's a profound blessing with a captivating promise. We're given the opportunity to see God amid life's stresses. We're promised that we can know our Saviour intimately. We can tangibly encounter him within our daily routines, experiencing his life-giving friendship. It is a beautiful prospect. However, as we think further, we can also start to worry And then a tentative question emerges. Who are the pure in heart? When we hear this phrase, we can think of those who are morally perfect, people who never have an evil thought or make a bad choice. Consequently, we feel disqualified. Surely this blessing is beyond us. However, a deep dive gives us hope. Purity, we discover, isn't always the same as perfection. None of us has perfect hearts, not even close. We're all motivated by unhealthy desires. It's part of our broken humanity. However, it doesn't stop us from conspiring towards a world of pure hearts. For Jesus, a pure heart refers to a heart with a singular desire to pursue his holiness and uprightness. Even despite our imperfections, his concern is for the focus of affection, not perfection of our actions. In matters of faith, blessed are the hedgehogs, and their resolve to know only one big thing. In this world, in this overstimulating world, Jesus himself, this is the key to seeing God. Jesus is after your heart today, even with all its worry, brokenness, and division. Will you give it to him? Resolve again to give Jesus everything. Restore him as your sole pursuit, your most trusted love, your most treasured possession. Offer him your all, not in despairing recognition, but in hope, because blessed are you as you make Jesus your one big thing. For you will see God. Let's pray. Everlasting Father, thank you for this time together. As we return to our day, would you go ahead of us, dwell within us, and shine through us, blessing all who cross our paths. God of hope, would you purify our hearts today by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' glorious name. Amen.